Right. The after party's going to be at the Embassy Suites.
Right.
Room.
We're going streaking through the streets of Nashville and the Vanderbilt Quad.
Early start on the complimentary breakfast buffet.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol United Saints Podcast.
What's up, Houdat Nation? Thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jason, today. Jeff is out on vacation since it is still technically the off season, and he knows he's got a lot of shows hosting ahead of him. So he decided to head out to the hills of Colorado. So I'll be
Sunshine
here.
Sunshine State.
Yeah. The land of lakes. So I'm here tonight. I'll be hosting our final off season show of 2021. Training camp starts next week. I know it's a long off season for a lot of people. I tried not to think about the Saints too much to kind of shorten the off season, but look, we're here. It's the end of July. We're here. We have not had any major hurricanes yet, so that's a good thing. So you know, we go into this off season. This is one of the most, I'd say, interesting, but also there's just so many questions for this off season and this season. Sorry, not the offseason. This season, because for the last 15 years, because of one guy isn't here. We've been lucky enough to be blessed with the greatest QB of all time, fuck Tom Brady. So there's some intrigue, and I know I've mentioned it before. There's a lot of excitement. There's a lot of intrigue. It's a weird. It's a different offseason. It's weird. It's been a weird offseason. It's been a weird feeling coming into the season, and that's not even factoring in all the COVID stuff that happened last year. But we'll get into that. We've got some player news. David Onyemata, not so good. We've got some questions surrounding some of the roster of the Saints this year, including the biggest position, number 9's replacement. And we're going to talk about the official 2021 Dome Patrol road trip. That is a full go right now. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. I did forget, you know, I thought I was being good because I had everything lined up. I forgot to mention my number. I'll probably go with a 3. I'm drinking a little tin cup whiskey right here. So that's where I'm at. Joining us today, we've got Wesley from the BS and Beer Show. How are you doing? And do you have a number?
A 1¾. I'm drinking some Belfort bourbon. And how many, where's the ratio fall worth? How many more shows I've done with you guys lately than BS and Beer to where, how long am I still Wesley from BS and Beer if BS and Beer is only doing one show every 4 months?
That is a good question.
Curious. Is there...
I know you guys have always taken the entire off season off.
This is like the night Wesley joins the NWO. Tonight Wesley joins.
So he's
NWO.
Got. So for all you listeners,
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt his introduction.
For all you listeners at home, you can't see it, but he had a BS and Beer show, and he just ripped it off to unveil a Dome Patrol shirt. So yeah, I guess starting you're official now. You survived an entire off season with us, and you were here. Hell, I feel like you were on more shows than even Jeff this off season.
Right, I think so too. I've definitely done more with you and Gunn than I have with Jeff since the draft.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, Jeff clearly took this off season to really have an off season. I mean, he's traveled all over the states because he knows when he comes back, like, hey dude, you're the host. I ain't doing this. Like, it's yours. And It's weird. Jeff goes, he does tend to go into phases a little bit. Like sometimes he's really, really into the Saints and really into the show. And like, he wants to do a show and we're like, oh, maybe we could show up and not. And then we're like, hey, let's do a show. And he's like, either you don't hear from him for 3 days, which is par for the course, or he's like, Yeah, I'm out of town. Sorry.
That's a day. That's a Dave thing too. Dave will like not talk to you for 4 or 5 days, and then he'll bring up like 6 random Saints subjects, and he's like, "I just want to talk. Why is nobody responding? What? Nobody wants to talk?" And it's like, dude, we've been talking all week.
So is that just a byproduct of being a host? Is that a
Maybe it's the looking for stuff to talk about, but then when there isn't really, I don't know. It's a mixture of admitting that there's nothing to talk about and then like trying to manufacture something.
I mean, I know, and we've always been about like, we're not going to manufacture anything. We're not, look, if there's something to talk about, we'll talk about it. And I get it. I'm not one, like, there's enough stuff online, and I'm at the point in my life and my Saint Sam fandom where I just don't give a shit about stuff that doesn't really matter. Like, yeah, you could bring up a hypothetical question. Who cares? Like, at this point, I care about how the team does, wins, losses. It just doesn't affect me like it was when I was 25. I don't get all riled up in anything. But also joining us today, we've got Gunn. Gunn from his Mandalorian residence. I don't see any Mandalorian cougars in your background. I was hoping to see one or two because I figured you've had enough time to kind of get situated in that environment.
I'm becoming one with Mandeville. I am officially a Mandalorian, I guess. I don't know. I've signed up for things, you know.
You signed up for things?
Yeah. Rec sports and whatnot. I'm utilizing
Mandeville. Bleached.
I'm utilizing Mandeville.
Is there like a tattoo or a nipple ring or something?
Not yet. I'm waiting on those. No, man, I'm glad to be here. As usual, don't have a number. I gotta tell you, I mean, I'm so glad football season is almost here, because this feels like it's been the long winter. Like, this off season feels like it's been a long, cruel, difficult stretch, you know. And from a podcasting standpoint, like you mentioned earlier, it's hard to find things to talk about when there's nothing to talk about, you know. And over on Taking the Over, we've had to get real stupid and real creative when there's nothing to talk about. I mean, we even had Wes on to talk about UFC. Incredible episode, by the way. But man, I'm excited. I like football season. I mean, it's so close. It's 50 days away today, and I'm almost like sick with anticipation. You know, like I want it to be here. You know, preseason, like from a wagering standpoint, wagering on preseason football is like just the most sadomasochistic thing you can possibly do. I mean, it's pure degeneracy. So I'm really excited about it. But man, I'm glad the offseason's over. It's been rough.
See, and that's the way it used to be for me. I mean, the off seasons were always so long, and then a few years ago, I just stopped. Like, I really said, you know what? It's the off season, and it's an off season. I'm gonna not even. I didn't even think about the Saints for a while, because I just felt like it was healthier for me, because it's just it made it seem just so long. And by the time it comes, like, I'm so rabid, like kind of like you, like I was so rabid. And that's the thing, like when training camp starts, ooh, training camp, and then you get reports from training camp and you're all into everything, and then when the preseason starts, like, man, the first, we have an actual game even though it's preseason, and then 5 minutes in you're like, oh yeah, it's a preseason game.
is it just me, or is this, I mean, does it even make sense that, so I would say it's when the offseason started, like Super Bowl's over and all, I think I was, once we knew Breeze was retiring, I was pretty excited about this offseason because there's so many like unanswered questions, and I'm actually excited about like what our offense can look like with Jameis, if he's got a big arm and all that stuff. And I was like, okay, what new cornerback are we going to get, and what's going to happen in the draft? And then now that we've had all that and we don't have a new cornerback, and the draft was different than what probably any of us anticipated. And now today, well, I'm sure we'll talk about, but the rumors coming out that Jameis may not be our starter. I'm preparing myself to be really pissed off this preseason. Like that, like I've been excited about like all these unanswered questions. And now I'm like getting into that. If these questions aren't answered or are either answered a way I don't like, that's going to annoy the shit out of me.
Drafting Peyton Turner, right? It's like, what?
So we knew it was going to be a crazy offseason. Like coming into the off season, I remember thinking too, like, this is going to be a nutty, nutty offseason, because you know, Breeze is retiring. That's a huge thing. Jameis is probably going to be our quarterback. That's significant. The salary cap roller coaster that we've had. I mean, they had to. We did lose a lot of people.
Yeah.
That's why we don't have a corner. And like you were saying, Wes, it's like we haven't. It feels like we haven't unwrapped any free agency presence yet.
Yeah.
you know.
And I was actually, I think with most of us, at like 2 years ago, it would have been bad. But like at this point, I was excited about the Breeze retirement. Like, okay, good timing. It's time for something else. Like, I didn't want to hear that he was coming back. I was nervous about that. So once that was announced, I was actually like in a good way, like, okay, cool. Love that we had that all those years. I'm excited about the next chapter. Now I'm really, it's the next chapter is about to start and I'm really fucking nervous.
Right. It's fun when there's just the unknown, you know, it's like the unknown of like, ooh, you know, there's an excitement to it because you don't know what's going to happen. And then as things slowly fall into place, you're like,
it's really just the last couple of days that I've started feeling that way. Like a week ago, I was like, cool, yeah, off season. Let's go. Let's get going with the preseason. I'm ready for training camp. I'm ready for reports. Now I'm like, Jesus, really?
Yeah. And look, I said it from day one. It's like the second cornerback spot on this team is the biggest question mark on the team, especially since we don't know what the hell is going to happen to Lattimore. We don't. It's crazy to think. They haven't announced it yet, considering last week we got the announcement of Onyemata.
Here's an unfun fact.
Six-game suspension for Onyemata. The one spot where we lost two starting, you know, two big defensive tackles last year. It's like we figured, okay, it's okay. Onyemata's still there. He's probably – he was clearly – the better guy of all three. We'll have him. We'll bring it. Like somebody will come along, either Roach Clip or whoever. And now that he's going to be out for 6 months, I mean, 6 games, it feels like 6 months, but 6 games, all again for the stupid, oh, tested for a banned substance. And it goes back and makes you think, like, we've seen this happen so many times with guys. They took some kind of supplement that wasn't on the approved list. They got suspended. It happens so much. Why does it keep happening?
On one hand, it's almost like, does this happen to every team? Does every team lose guys to drug suspensions, recreational guns, arrests, steroids, whatever it may be? Unknown supplement. Oh, something got in my stomach. I hate that's always the half-assed non-ownership. I took something that I didn't realize I was taking. You know, like we hear it in fight sports all the time. You know what I mean? Like John Jones is notorious. He said that he took like a gas station dick pill, and that's why he tested hot one time. But I mean, it happens to us. It stands out, the Onyemata suspension, the uncertainty around Lattimore, because we don't have any depth. We don't even have the starting spots filled. We're hoping to sign a linebacker who blew his knee out. We're hoping that he signs with us, you know, because he was a great leader on our team last year before we lost him. And that's so far, if we get him, which is no certain thing, everybody's running around going, oh, Quan Alexander's coming. Dude, the ink ain't dry. And if anything, like the hesitancy, you know, he's already visited. You think the Saints are being smart and wait until he passes a physical before they announce that?
I don't know. I just think he visited us probably first because he already knew the guys in the building, but some people might get worked up over it. Oh, we might be signing him. And I've learned, look, if he signs, great. I'm happy to have him back, but I don't want to get worked up over a rumor that he might be signing. And then 3 days later, he ends up signing with Green Bay or whoever he signs with. But that's also goes back, you know, this goes back to the cuts that we had to make in this offseason, because the last 4 years, the Saints were the deepest team in the league.
Right.
That was the strength of this team was the depth. We had so many guys that could come in when guys get injured. And now it's just not there anymore. And look, in the NFL, it's almost impossible to do that. And that's kind of where we sit now. So that's why the Onyemata thing is just so big. And I just hate this. You know, it's like, oh yeah, I took something. You know, you probably did. Like, clearly these guys are doing something else. I mean, it's not just, like you said, a gas station dick pill. Who the fuck takes a gas station dick pill?
John Jones.
Not a professional athlete.
But difference.
John Jones is a pretty wild cat.
So in fight sports, they test down to what's called picograms, which is literally you could ingest a banned substance the size of a grain of sand and fail the drug test in the UFC and all that. The NFL does not test in picograms. If you have enough in your system to fail an NFL drug test and get flagged, it's because there's enough in your system for you to fail an NFL drug test and get flagged. They're very different. And I know it's cool to use that excuse because we've heard fighters and other people use it. It's just not reality in the NFL. Like, you have to have a significant amount in your system to fail that drug test. And then beyond that, there are labs all over China that have like banned substances and all. There's also a list that the NFL and all these other major organizations put out of approved substances and approved like companies that make supplements that are guaranteed to not have that stuff in it. And if you fail a drug test, you can go back and say, here's the lot number of what I did. And so Onyemata is saying what he needs to say so that he doesn't have to go like, yeah, I was illegally using substances.
Right. He was clearly taking something he shouldn't have.
Yeah, he was. There was something going on. Now, we'll figure out. Maybe at some point we'll hear or not hear what that is. But the same excuse that we use in fighters and Olympians and the way they test, it's just not the same in the NFL.
Which is insane, especially after he had his whole weed thing, had the weed delivered to his apartment a couple of years ago. It's like, dude, you already have this against you. Like, come on, man. Come on. So
I mean, this is the same as like somebody super wealthy, like getting a DUI. Like, I mean, if there's anybody who can't use the excuse of like, I couldn't afford a limo or
a driver, right.
Driver. Right. I mean, something like that. I mean, it's just crazy.
And it's just disappointing too, especially knowing that we lost Rankins and we lost Malcolm Brown. Like, he knew that these guys aren't here anymore, so we were going to have to rely on him so much for this defense. It's just so
damn.
Did
that pressure cause him to use these illegal substances so that he could be a double-digit sack guy and try to get a Trey Hendrickson type concert?
I mean, but he already got his money. Like that's the thing. Like, now with the suspension, he's losing money. So. Like, it's not like he's working. Like, it's not like he's going to be a free agent next year and he's trying to get have a massive season, have a big contract. He got his contract already.
Almost $1.9 million he's losing.
Right? Like, that's the crazy part. Like, he didn't have he's got the incentive to play well, but he's already got his contract. It's the frustrating part. So with him being out 6 weeks, look, the Saints, with all the restructuring they did, re-signing Ramczyk, they still have, they do have some cap space now. So is it possible they go after a guy like Geno Atkins or Snacks or Kawan Short, who are now cleared to participate? I mean, it seems like, I mean, I'm sure a lot of us thought, well, they'll use that money to maybe sign a cornerback, which they desperately need. But now with Onyemata gone, now they've got that potentially. So. I think they need to use that money for something.
You just move Cam Jordan over from end to tackle.
That would be. I mean, look, you will see Cam Jordan playing some, especially if they want to get right. Turner involved and
put him in the gap. You know, I mean, give the kid,
Turner
two first and one first.
I mean, look, if Davenport comes on like we need him to and they want to get Turner involved, that is an option. And we may have no choice.
Inside too.
Yeah, I mean, we may not – if we don't sign, you know, another guy coming in. I mean, I know we've got some other kind of rotation guys to come in, but it's going to have to be a group effort now on the defensive line.
I think at this point, even if it's not – I mean, I got to say, I mean – Geno Atkins, when I first heard the name, I was like, oh, that would be awesome. Like, he's coming off an injury. He hasn't been good in 4 years.
Oof.
Like, he looking at his numbers the last 3 years are, I mean, really poor.
Oof. Yeah, when I first saw Geno Atkins' name, I think I confused him with someone else in my brain. And I got excited for a moment because everybody else was like, oh, look who it is. And I went, oh, wait no, that guy.
So I mean, Geno Atkins made the 2010s All-Pro Decade team and all, and he made a couple of Pro Bowls in there, but he hasn't made one since 2015.
Right, so that was for the first half of the decade. He was
good. Yeah, it was, and it's. I think that we have to obviously bring in some sort of defensive line depth. I'm not sure if Geno Atkins actually is able to be the depth at the front of the rotation rather than the back of the rotation. And honestly, for the money, I don't know if you probably bring in somebody big and younger and more athletic towards the back end of that rotation than even trying to mess with Geno Atkins up. I'm not sure if he's going to have the motivation to come in and just work his hardest once every 11 plays, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you know, a guy that I forgot to mention is we still have Granderson on the outside at end. So you could move in Jordan. You could even move in Turner and play Turner. I mean, Turner's a big guy. You could – spell him at D tackle, if, because a lot of people seem to be high on Granderson coming in this year. I know we see all the workout videos and you're like, oh, okay, maybe he can come up and get a lot of sacks this year. So
and I'm a Granderson believer. I like Granderson.
So it's wild that it seems like we have a hell of a lot of defensive end depth and now no defensive tackle depth. So, I mean, yeah, it's, hey Cam, come on, man. You're Mr. You know, you're the longest tenured Saint now. I mean, Cam Jordan is the longest tenured Saint right now. Come play a little inside. We need you.
I like Shy Tuttle too, if nothing else, but for that stiff arm of Matt Ryan.
Yep.
Shy Tuttle will always have a special place in my heart.
I think he's obviously he's a natural defensive tackle or nose tackle, but I think that he definitely has that push where he can be that interior rusher while Roach or somebody else is kind of playing his spot, and then he can run over to the Onyemata type of spot.
I mean, I get the one good thing you could say about the Onyemata suspension is that he'll be incredibly fresh for the back half of the season when we need him most.
Yeah,
right around the time Davenport gets hurt and starts missing a few games.
Yep. So, you know, outside of, I mean, clearly going into training camp, cornerback is the position I think a lot of people are going to be focusing on. It's the position where we're the weakest at in terms of depth and starting depth. And do you even think when we might find something out about Lattimore, whether he's suspended or not? I mean, it's kind of crazy. This thing happened so long ago. I hate the fact that we haven't heard anything yet.
Huh. That's odd. I thought that would be big news.
You thought what would be big news?
Well, there seems to be an absence of a certain ornithological piece. A headline regarding mass awareness of a certain avian variety.
What are you talking about?
Oh, have you not heard? It was my understanding that everyone had heard.
Heard what?
Brian, don't!
Like the NFL is trying for maximum fuckery. And waiting till the last possible second to unleash. And like we've talked about before, man, 4 games feels excessive. And don't put it past the NFL to do that. But I mean, honestly, it really doesn't feel like it should be more than 1 or 2 games. And I'm a person who doesn't really, I don't think he did something all that wrong. But like, I think the gun was stolen. He bought it from his friend. I don't even think that's a big deal. Like, that's not even a big deal to me.
No, it's not, but the NFL loves to punish people for things that aren't big deals.
Well, the NFL can say they're about social justice and this and that, and then shit like this happens, and they turn into fucking haters. That's bullshit.
NFL's about one thing, the almighty green.
Yeah.
That's all they're about.
Fine them, but they'll probably just fine them. If they acted like the real police, they'd just fine them.
If you pay extra,
you don't have to sit out any games.
Like a Gail will write a check for 250 G's. I mean, whatever. Yeah. She didn't earn that cash.
I don't know. It feels like they're waiting until the last possible moment to net, because you feel like something should have been out by now.
Right. It's probably
the NFL doesn't care about. They don't care about the commercial. They don't care about the criminal outcome. They say they'll make their decision independent. And criminally, I don't think he's going to be in a whole lot of trouble. The NFL is going to, NFL's punishment is likely to be more harsh than the criminal justice system's punishment. And that's ridiculous too.
So, I mean, here's the thing with the good news on Lattimore is that one, this is not like domestic violence or something like that. They are not going to suspend him until the criminal case is finished. And I think this is easily a thing that a decent lawyer that Lattimore can afford can make this last until next offseason. This is something that can be put off a bunch of times or pled down. So I'm not sure if suspension could come this year. I mean, I think it could be pushed off. If he is suspended, I don't see it being more than 2 games. This isn't domestic violence. I'm sure there's all kinds of excuses, and all it takes is one person in that car to just decide they're going to bite the bullet for him and be like, oh, I handed him that. I sold him the gun. I'm the one that stole it. And the NFL's not going to suspend him for having a friend that's, I mean, Ray Lewis was next to a guy that murdered another guy and didn't get suspended. So, I mean,
yeah. I think Lattimore did the stand up thing and took the charge. I think that's what happened here, because he's the one that got charged with the gun.
Yeah.
I think everybody in the
car was arrested.
Were they all arrested?
Everybody, 4 people in the car were arrested.
How could four people own the gun?
The I think there was
they were playing hot potato with it.
Do they own shares in the gun? Like, how do they?
No, I think there was multiple guns in the car.
They all got one. They all got to pick one.
There were four guns in the car.
But two other passengers were arrested for having guns while under disability. So they were drunk or high and also had guns on them.
You're a doubt.
The driver was arrested for improper handling of a firearm in a motor vehicle. So all four of them had guns. They were all arrested for their different illegal possessions of the guns.
Well, as a staunch supporter of the Second Amendment and my last name being Gun, I support these young men exercising their Second Amendment rights. I don't think that because they were intoxicated that they forfeit their Second Amendment rights. I don't think the Constitution even says that. It doesn't have an asterisk next to the Second Amendment except for when you're drunk. That's bullshit, dude. Yeah, you're right. A good lawyer should get them out of this. He's not going to miss any time this year. Wesley just convinced
me. You convinced. I mean, the good thing is, right, like he said, like, it's not a situation that a lot of the country now is going to be up in arms about, like domestic violence, or like what the hell is going to happen with Deshaun Watson. You know, like there's more PR stuff. Like I don't think anybody, national media or
outside
even
outside of New Orleans,
people, right? Like nobody gives a shit about whatever Lattimore. Like they all forgot about it already. He's not. I mean, he's a big player for us, but he's not nationally well known enough. And what happened isn't, you know, beating your wife or your girlfriend or something like that. Like, it's not going to get the outrage that a lot of these other things get. So maybe we might get a little benefit here and I'll just get a little slap on the wrist. Maybe just be a game. So,
but who's going to be the other cornerback, even if he's not suspended?
especially week one.
We do have him.
I mean, hey, if we luck out and have to go against Jordan Love week one, might be all right.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers should be able to lead us to victory over Jordan Love, right?
Right? Of course. Y'all thought there was a QB competition? Yeah.
we're trading Taysom and Jameis to Green
Bay. Right. So speaking of, there was obviously one clickbait article that came out and said, oh, rumors suggest that Taysom's the guy. And you even see it, you know, so many people want to say that there is an actual QB competition.
Nope. Thank you.
And I just don't see it after watching Taysom for four. I mean, that's the whole point of playing Taysom last year. After seeing him for four games, not that he can't get better, because those were the first four games that he's ever started. Not that he can't get better, but you've already got a guy in Jameis who was thrown for 5,000 yards. Yes, he's thrown for a lot of interceptions, but there's no guarantee that Taysom's going to come in and not throw picks. I would expect them to throw the same number of interceptions. So there's just a lot more experience on his side. And I've said it from day one, like, this is not a QB competition. Jameis Winston will be the quarterback. And the stories are just coming out because they want to, because they can't say, oh yeah, well, he's the QB. They can't. They need to drive up viewership. They need to get people to think about it, to try to read articles and rile people up saying that Taysom's going to be the guy. So I just think this is all a lot of nothing.
And that thing, it wasn't even like an article. It was a one-sentence blurb from a Boston Globe reporter who hasn't even tweeted New Orleans Saints since 2015 or 16. So this is not a guy who's got some ends with the New Orleans Saints. And I'm pretty sure that I think I told you the other day, I think that probably Nader has a better reputation with the Saints than him. Like, I mean, this guy doesn't know. This guy didn't talk to Sean Payton. Like, he didn't hear from some insider that Sean Payton said this. I mean, and if he did, this is some stupid thing from a year and a half ago when he told Taysom, "You're getting the next shot." I just don't think this is updated as something this year.
It's also amazing. Like, how the hell does some tweet from some Boston Globe guy get so much damn traction?
Off-season boredom.
Manufacturing off-season stories.
Saints Twitter needs something to hold on to that day. I
mean, look, we and that's the one thing Saints Twitter does. We rally around shit really fast.
Need something for that day. You know, I mean, and I saw that, and it's clickbait. It's designed to get us talking about it. Look what we're fucking doing. We're talking about it, you know, and it's true because that's what we do in the offseason. But I got to tell you, I had a deep thought light bulb moment the other night where, yeah, it's clearly Jameis is going to be the starting quarterback, and he should, and I think he will. And like we've talked about before, you're going to see some Taysom like interspersed in there, of course. But even like, let's say Jameis went down, gets injured, suspended, you know, regardless of who's playing quarterback for the Saints this year, we're going to see a lot of turnovers. Both of these gentlemen are turnover prone in different ways, but turnover prone. And turnovers, it's like it's those things that causes us all to have like those Tourette's moments. Those are when the angry tweets all hit Twitter at the same time. You know, everybody's going, shit, fuck, you know. There's going to be a lot of that this year.
So, but like, besides his last season in Tampa Bay, Jameis hasn't been any more of a turnover machine than what Breeze was during his prime years when he was throwing for lots of yardage too. So, I mean, just to say that Jameis is going to turn the ball over. Yes, he had a season of proportional turnover.
Well, in addition to turnovers, it was the pick sixes too. I mean, six.
Yeah,
sixes.
I mean,
he had a knack for that.
those are crushing.
That's his special. Yeah, he's very special.
If we throw out that season, though, I mean, his 13 to 16 interceptions isn't crazy from what Breeze was doing during his prime years of 08 to 13 when we were setting records on offense. He was throwing 14, 15, 16 interceptions a year too. So I don't know. I mean, I just think that we're going to be better coached than that. And I think
how many interceptions do you think?
I'll do 14.
You think 14?
I was thinking probably like 18.
I'm thinking 18 to 20 and I'm cool with it.
So, 18 to 20,
I can live with that number.
If he's got 18 interceptions and throws 39 touchdowns and 4,800 yards, awesome.
Yeah. Yep.
Please sign me up for that.
If 18 interceptions is still one oh shit a game.
Yeah.
One where everybody's throwing their hats on the ground and stomping.
Yeah, but here's the thing too. Like if you look, like but you said,
39
you look
back, touchdowns is 2.5 touchdowns a game too.
Right. Right, like when Breeze was slinging it, you know, we were getting the stats and he was throwing the picks. But over the last few years, when Breeze hasn't been able to sling it, he's more conservative, and that's why his interception totals have really, really dropped. Well, so over the past few years, we have gotten a little accustomed to not doing that. But I'm at this point, I'm okay with it because I want more exciting plays. Like I want more exciting plays.
But also, I mean, like on 3rd and 7, throwing an interception 26 yards downfield is a short punt. I mean, also, I mean, like, so as long as we're not, you know, 1st and 10 throwing an interception behind the line of scrimmage, I mean, there's going to be portions of us pushing the ball down the field that's going to lead to stuff like that. And if he's throwing a bomb that's, you know, a safety dives and catches it 51 yards downfield, I mean, it happens.
Yeah, and I also think there's a lot of fans that are just going to be pissed off because he's not Breeze. You know,
there's going to be fans that are pissed off that he's not Hill. That Hill's not starting. There's people who are still out there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like there, so, I know. I talk to people all the time. I'm like, yeah, look, Jameis is going to be quarterback. I'm like, no, and they're like, I mean, why? He's bet like Taysom Hill is not a quarterback.
So beyond just whether or not Hill or Winston starts, if the blurb or whatever that Boston Globe got said the other day was to a T was accurate. Tell me how either one of y'all feel about this. So we go into preseason. There is no competition. It just, they both play. And then no matter what, Taysom Hill is named the starter and is the starter until he fucks up so bad 5 or 6 games down the road that Winston has to take over because he's bad. Like what's the point of us having all these conversations about Sean Payton being a great coach and always in the running for coach of the year if that's the way he's going to run his team? Like, and that's the opposite of what we know about Payton. This is the team that cuts 4th-round draft picks to sign, to let undrafted free agents start and play. Like, this is the team that doesn't give a shit about the contract amount and where you were drafted. It's who's the best person. That nothing about those, that sentence makes sense, that we're just, there's no competition. It's Taysom Hill's job. And Winston's going to come in if Taysom Hill just plays so bad he loses it. Like none of that sounds like Sean Payton or the Saints.
No, especially after watching Taysom in his 4 games last year, he didn't blow the word. Like he's not like, oh, well, that guy is definitely the guy. Like that was not the case.
I'd be pissed if something like that. Like I'd be I just, I'd be upset.
Right.
We started,
I mean, listen,
season two and four because Taysom just has to have a long rope. I'd be
right. Now, really, look, I mean, look, sometimes Sean and Mickey like their guys like that, but in terms of something like this, I just don't see that happening. Like, they're not gonna throw away a season like that. I just can't see that. I just can't see that happening. I think it's just a lot of people, maybe because Winston would played for the enemy for so years and they hated him for so years that they don't want him to succeed. Or maybe in their minds, it's just like, oh, it's just another Aaron Brooks, even though it's a totally different guy. Maybe there's some of that.
Have you guys seen the NFL Network has been replaying a lot of like old Tampa Bay games with Jameis?
They're sped up.
Oh man, they're on all over the place. And I mean, it's gonna be so nice to have a quarterback with an arm. It's gonna be so nice. I mean, he's got an arm.
Fucking Scott. All right.
He's got a rocket. And unlike Aaron Brooks didn't have a pedigree. Aaron Brooks wasn't the number one overall pick in a draft. He was Aaron Brooks was a second rounder, I believe.
I thought he was like a fourth rounder. Like he was, or third rounder. Yeah, he was a mid round pick. He was a throw-in in a trade. Yeah, he was just a late round pick. And without Jeff Blake getting hurt, Brooks never gets a job.
Right. I think Jeff Blake would have been better.
Yeah. Look, Jeff Blake was really good. So, right. I mean, that's the thing. Like he, you know, Jameis has the pet. Like, Jameis, if you look at it at all angles, Jameis is the better quarterback.
You have to find out if Jameis Winston is a true number one overall pick. I mean, you have to. For $2 million or whatever we signed him for this year, you have to take the chance to find out if he is one of the top five quarterbacks.
Yeah. Well, right. Because if he's not, then the Saints have to look at drafting a guy next year. Yeah. I mean, you drafted Ian Book, but you know, come on, nobody expects Ian Book to be much of anything other than a backup. But yeah, like there's, and especially to losing Breeze and losing some of the talent we have, the Saints are better off with Taysom being the weapon that he is, not at quarterback.
I'm confident he's going to be a stud. I am.
Who?
And like, Tamus Wilson.
Oh, Tamus Wilson? Okay.
Tamus Wilson.
Yeah. I just want to make sure we're on the same page here.
Yeah, Tamus Wilson.
Okay.
Like Wes said, give him a chance to figure, you know, I think he's legit first overall pick. I think we're going to see it. But like we started this conversation off, prepare yourself for 18 to 20, or in Wes's world, 14. Oh, fuck. What did he just do moments?
If he only throws 14 picks this year, we're gonna win.
Oh my God, we're Super Bowl.
We're gonna win 12, 13 games.
Yeah, I'm good with 18 and
20. So now that are there any other positions heading into training camp outside of maybe cornerback, which we all know is a problem? Are there any other sneaky positions that you're looking at or that you're curious to see kind of how it kind of unfolds, what they look like in the preseason, because now there's only three preseason games this year?
I mean, my two are, I mean, tight end and wide receiver. I'm not one of the people that's really nervous about wide receiver. I think that Traquan Smith has been underutilized or impossible to utilize as Breeze's arms has declined. Like, Traquan Smith led the entire country in yards per catch his last year in college. Like, that's his game, is getting downfield. And we've been trying to like make him into running just like a different game than what is necessarily his forte, where I think that Jameis can take advantage of his talents. And then I'm excited about the Adam Trautman thing. I mean, he's a guy that I realized that he was playing against junior high kids in college, but that's a guy that got the ball in his hand and ran around people and threw people. And if you get the ball in his hand, he's exciting. And we don't need 1,000 yards out of our tight end. You get 550, 600 yards out of a tight end like that. There's a lot that can do in the offense. And he's got to be the one, because everybody else, every other tight end on our team is a blocking tight end. I mean, he's the receiving tight end.
And there's the hope too, kind of the same thing with Graham. Like, Graham really exploded his second year. Like, his first year, he kind of came on at the end, and then the next year he just exploded. And Trautman kind of came on a little at the end this year. I mean, it was a slow start, but with the whole COVID thing, you know, everybody kind of got off to a slow start.
Graham got 1,300 yards receiving his second year. Again, I would be really happy with 575 out of Troutman. That's, I mean, I think that what we're going to do with our speedy receivers, over 500 yards out of the tight end position, just out of him, would be a big deal.
Yeah, and it is. It's almost like the last few years we can kind of throw out because of the way the offense is designed with Breeze, but now with Jameis, there's going to be the offense is going to look really, really a lot different because I think we can do a lot more. You've got Traquan, and I know Traquan's getting a lot of hype this offseason about a guy. He's in a contract year. He's coming on now. We have an offense that can maybe stretch the field. People are kind of forgetting about Michael Thomas. You know, he's ranked like 10th of the fantasy wide receivers, which is just crazy. When he was number one, he was number one last year, and now he was hurt, and people just forget about him. And then Deontay Harris too. So I admit to being worried about the receiver crew, but I think with these guys here and with the way the offense is going to change, I'm not quite as worried about the receiver position.
And again, with Jameis Winston, I feel good about our receiver position. If we're talking about Taysom Hill, who I have not seen evidence can anticipate when a receiver is going to come open downfield, and I have not seen evidence that he has any idea how to throw the ball to Alvin Kamara. I mean, he made Alvin Kamara, he went from the number two or number three best running back in football to, when Taysom Hill's playing, he's the 15th best running back in football.
He was fantasy irrelevant for those 4 weeks.
100%. And so
irrelevant.
Again, with Jameis Winston, I'm not nervous about our receivers. I think that our receivers fit stuff that he does and the way his arm can play. Taysom Hill makes me nervous about our receivers because I don't think we have the – having said that, Michael Thomas will have had big numbers with Taysom, but I just think the rest of them would be tough.
How do you feel about Jameis being able to avoid the towel in his workouts?
You're a towel.
How about that dog?
You got to keep the dog off you somehow, right?
Yeah, right?
There's some guy on Twitter going, Patrick Mahomes does the same video of this. Nobody makes fun of him. Like, well, I'm not making fun. I'm saying, number one, I'm saying this video is a treasure. And number two, the dog.
You got to go out there. You got to find that fucking dog.
I'm a pup, dude. I like a man that's got a dog. You
right.
Know?
If it's your dog?
Right.
I think that's his dog.
It's okay. It's not cheating.
I don't have a dog. He can't have my dogs. I don't have a dog.
So the one other player thing that has happened since the last time we talked was Marcus Williams not coming to agreement and just playing under the franchise tag. So, I mean, we all knew he was going to play. I thought we'd get a deal done, but
it's a bigger heel move than the Minnesota Miracle.
I mean, apparently they offered him a good deal and he turned it down. I don't know.
I'll forgive him for the Minnesota Miracle before I'll forgive him for this.
Yeah. Right. This seemed like, yeah, dude, just look, take it. You'll be here for a while. You're in a good organization, on a good team.
Ramchick didn't do that shit. You know, like that's right. Ramchick's like the example, which was, they want to make you one of the top safeties in the league. And they want to win a Super Bowl. And they want you to stay here. You know?
Yeah.
The cities. Right. I think we've done a good job with Marcus Williams considering how the relationship got off to an interesting start.
Yeah, look.
There's notoriety with that play.
Yeah, you may have some people still hate him, but I never held that against him. I still think he's a strong player. And
most Saints fans don't. Most Saints fans are good about it.
Gotten over, and for a couple of years I was mad at Marcus Williams. I like Marcus Williams. I think the last couple of years when he's fixed his tackling, he has done a great job and he has protected the middle of the field. Having said that, I think that is a way easier position to replace in the second, third, fourth round of the draft than is what we figured out we can do at linebacker or cornerback or a lot of other places that we could spend $10, $12, $15 million. I think that Saints have proven they do this. They will draw a line in the sand and say, here's what we think that you're worth. I'm guessing that it's not anywhere near the $15 million that what's his name just signed for in Kansas City. So I'm guessing that they made a line in the sand. He thinks he's worth more than that. And I mean, there's probably at an impasse. And honestly, I'd be okay with signing Marcus Williams up to about $10, $11.5 million a year, something like that. Anything over that, I think that's a position that you can replace much cheaper and easier. There's almost like it's hard to screw up that position, or it's easier to hit on that position. I think it's hitting on a safety is way easier than hitting a cornerback, just like hitting on a guard's way easier than hitting on a tackle. I mean, there's a reason that they're not as highly valued. There's not many first round draft pick safeties.
Yeah. And like, if I had the choice based on the numbers between him and Lattimore, like, we need Lattimore more than we need him.
Yeah, for sure.
So I think that's all I have in terms of players. It's going to be exciting when training camp starts next week and we start getting the reports. So we'll move on to one off-season item that I noticed last week is that the Mercedes-Benz letters, they took them off the dome the other day. I saw out my window. They had a giant dumpster with all these giant white letters just sitting in the dumpster. So is it definitely going to be the Caesars Superdome? That's official.
I thought it was official, exactly. But now they're saying that it's not. Now they're acting like it's a mystery again, which I'm very confused by.
I think it's just been a thing that where the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, and I could have read this wrong, the Mercedes-Benz naming rights have expired, but they still can't officially announce the new deal because for 30 days or whatever, officially does have matching rights or something like that. Now, they've said we're not going to match it, but I just don't think they can call it a deal yet. And I mean, I could be wrong about that. And then I believe there was a way that they were, I believe I heard Caesar's Palace Superdome is what they were going to call it.
Right.
Maybe they're waiting for the big blowout with when sports gambling gets on.
DraftKings Dome.
DraftKings. They put their stupid fucking fantasy shit live, but they don't have the real gambling live.
It is interesting. So I drove in today, and the white roof of the dome is pretty damn dirty. I mean, they clean it every off season right before the season, but it's dirty now. But looking at it today, the space, because they have the Mercedes-Benz Superdome on the gold part on the side, those were all taken down, but they still have Mercedes-Benz like in black painted on the top of the roof. The spot around where it said Mercedes-Benz was all cleaned, like it was super clean just around that. So I guess they're planning to take that off pretty soon too. But they still have the banners up along the garages down below. So I guess that'll be the last thing to take off. So then I think our last topic tonight. We're going to be talking about the official 2021 Dome Patrol Saints road trip. It is official. We have our tickets. We have our rooms booked. We're going to Nashville, baby. We're going to Nashville November 14th is the actual game.
12th to the 15th.
Right. So yeah, we'll be arriving in on Friday. We're staying in the Vanderbilt area, the smart area of town, I guess.
That remains to be seen.
Wow. It'll be my first road game in a few years, but I'm excited. This is going to be a fun weekend. And I have a feeling this is going to be one of the bigger Saints road trips of the year. I mean, I already know a few people that are passing around a big group thing trying to get to go to Nashville. I know a lot of you guys are flying in. I'll be driving in, but I'm really looking forward because I wanted to go to Nashville when we played them 2 years ago, and it was like in between Christmas and New Year's, and it just didn't work for me. So I was really disappointed because I love going to AFC towns because you only get the chance every few years, but especially a city that seems like it's going to be fun like Nashville. I've never been there before.
I've never been either.
I've never spent time. I've passed through, but never made it a trip.
But I like the fact that the stadium is downtown, just like New Orleans is.
Yeah, it feels like we will be able to you know, it's always cool when you got a downtown stadium. I think you cross the river, you know, and there's a whole stadium walk. Those are the best cities. I hate it, like, when you got to get way out in the burbs, you know, to get to the stadium. That, because that always gets fucked with traffic and everything else.
So. Oh, that was like when we went to Kansas City. You know, we Kansas City, the stadium is way the hell out there. Miami is the same thing.
That was an awful drive to Arrowhead.
Yeah.
Like, tons of traffic, and it never ended, and, like, it was one way in and out of there. That was terrible.
Downtown stadiums rule for that reason alone, you know. But, I mean – dude, I'm excited. You know, good flights, good tickets, the Dome Patrol crew. You know, we were going to get an air. What's that?
Oh, have we found out what radio station that you can listen to the Titans game on? Because the seats that Jason made us get, we're not going to be able to see the game. So, I mean, I got to take a radio or something with me. So
I would much rather my seats than sitting in the lower level. At least I can see the entire game. Half the field isn't blocked for us.
I'm row 5.
Yeah,
I'm right. End zone row 5.
Right,
I'm excited.
He's not going to see the other level, half of the
I'll
field.
Watch the screen. No, I'll watch the screen that's on the other end of the stadium.
Okay, yeah, you could do that at home on your couch.
Oh, dude, little Jordan Humphrey is going to score the winning touchdown in my end zone.
He's going to come do the
Nissan leap into that end zone, and I'm going to catch him. I'm going to be on TV. I'm going to feed him some popcorn. Yeah,
okay.
Y'all be up in fucking. Y'all be in goddamn Tokyo watching where you're at.
You know? Oh my god!
Yeah, I'm sorry, Wes. I'm sorry.
Are we in the stadium or are we in a skyscraper in downtown watching the game?
It's like Wrigley that y'all bought. Y'all watching the room from the Embassy Suite.
Here's also part of it: the fact that we get to watch a game in an outdoor stadium for a change. You know, I want to be close to the sky to really get the full experience. Like that. That's
they don't have high school football near your house.
That's I'm not in high school anymore. I mean, I don't go to that shit. I don't go to Tulane games. Every once in a while, I go to an LSU game. But you know, that's always part of the fun of going to these Saints road games is getting to enjoy an outdoor stadium experience, especially in November. The weather should be nice and cool. I'm just so used to being in an air-conditioned dome
snowing
all the time. I mean, global warming, it ain't going to be snowing yet. I think we're okay. But just enjoying the outdoor stadium experience—that's definitely gonna be a fun time.
It's gonna be a lot of fun. It's a good group of us going, and I think it'll be cool to get together and have some good dinner while we're in Nashville and have a few drinks while we're there. And
oh yeah, I think there's like a brew pub like not far from the hotel. And yeah, definitely a nice dinner Saturday night, and I think. I know a lot of you guys are flying in Friday midday. I think we may leave Thursday and stop over in like, nice. I don't know, Birmingham or something, just because I do want to get there on Friday, like midday. I don't want to waste a whole day Friday driving. I do want to experience some stuff in the afternoon, even if it's just walking around downtown on a Friday.
Memphis might not be a bad stop for you, Jason. Ooh, and that way you can actually do Memphis one night and then you'll be there easy the next morning.
I have been to Memphis before. Memphis was fun.
Yeah, the game will be a lot of fun, and it'd be a cool stadium.
Are we doing a Dome Patrol meetup? I mean, can the listeners? Are we going to set something up where you know they come to a fine dining restaurant and they, you know, meet the stars of the Dome Patrol and BS and Beer Saints?
Well,
I think maybe Sunday night find a bar or something like that to announce that more than.
I was almost thinking like Friday night we could just kind of go out whatever just hang out. It doesn't have
to be
anything.
I think there'll be less people there Friday night than there would be Sunday night after the game.
So, I mean, unless you get a lot of
thing. Like I got a weird email today or saw something online. People fail to realize like this game feels like it could get flexed. Like we're making a real smart decision by leaving on Monday.
Yeah, yeah.
Leaving the night up because this game feels like it could get flexed.
Look, I've you know, when we went to Tampa in 07, we made the decision to get to fly home after the game, and it was a tight deadline to get back, and it was miserable having to worry about that. And we actually left a guy, like the flight was overbooked. One of the guys didn't make it until the next morning. but in 06 when we went to Dallas, I had booked my flight, you know, we booked our flights originally to come back that night, and then the game got flexed and we had to change our flights to come back early the next morning. And because there wasn't much left, like we had to come, we flew back at like 6 o'clock Monday morning, and it was Adam survived the flight. He threw up when we landed. He made it the whole flight, threw up when we landed. But tonight, and that's why kind of what I told Jeff, because Jeff was thinking about flying back that night. I'm like, look.
Oh yeah, he said that. It was awful.
Like you don't want to have to worry about getting to an airport after, because you never know what's going to happen. If the Saints lose, yeah, you'll be kind of disappointed. You may want to get the hell out of here. But if they win, I don't want to have to worry about getting to a, you know, dealing with traffic. You don't know what traffic's going to be. You don't, because it's an outside city, you just don't know what the patterns are going to be. Like you could get there on time. You could be late. I'd rather not have to worry about that and just deal with it. You know, Monday morning, we'll figure it out.
Well, if any listeners want to meet up, the Super 8 that we're staying at has a beer vending machine in the lobby. So I think they have all the major domestics, and so
there might be condom machines out there too for all the ladies.
Gun?
I don't. Who uses?
My wife's allergic to latex.
Who uses condoms?
I one of us. Sheepskin. Me and my wife are both allergic to latex.
Sheepskin. But yeah, so I'm definitely excited. I like the fact that we got everything booked early. I'm excited. It should be a good game between two playoff teams. Two of the best running backs in the league. It'd be something if it's flexed to Sunday night too.
Yeah, that'd, I mean, really, Tannehill versus Rodgers. Why wouldn't it be?
Right. Right. Kenny Vaccaro, Marcus Williams, the battle of the safeties. Oh, and don't forget Julio.
Yeah. When they find out it's Tannehill versus Taysom Hill, it's just they're going to go, we got to put that in prime time.
Ooh, battle of the hills.
Okay, so you're just bringing up, obviously, A.J. Brown and Julio Jones. Who's our second cornerback? Like, God.
Who needs Julio's one of those?
Anything against the Saints in years.
Who needs one of those? You know, I think the good news is I'm not worried about Julio. And if I had to guess, A.J. Brown will be injured. That's my guess. A.J. Brown will be injured, so we'll get away with having only Lattimore to guard Julio.
Corey Davis is gone. He went up to some New York team, I think, one of them.
So who is? They don't have. They used to have a good tight end. I think he left.
He left. Jonnu Smith.
Yeah. No. It was.
The Vegas or San Diego or something.
I was thinking the other Delanie Walker.
I think he's like 43 years old.
Yeah, he was still pretty productive.
Yeah, maybe. Okay. Jonnu Smith was their big one that I wanted to sign this offseason.
Okay.
Somewhere else.
But anyway, Tennessee. Nashville, it's going to be fun. If any of you guys are coming, just let us know. We'll figure something out if we go to hang out at a brewery someday, or just don't come stalk us in our Roach Motel 6. So any final thoughts from you guys?
I'm ready for football season. It's close. Gambling is going to be in effect from your phone for this football season. I'm ready for the world of Louisianians to experience that for the first time. I think that if, you know, folks give taking the over a chance, they listen to it. We got some exciting stuff planned for this year, and potentially explode like the whole gambling world does, because it's great to, you know. I'm excited for y'all to experience it. I'm excited for everybody to experience it.
I'm trying to figure out when I'm gonna dabble my toes into the daily fantasy golf betting, because that's something I'm definitely gonna do.
That's maybe the one thing that's tolerable in daily fantasy. The rest of it's nonsense. But like, just being able to bet on the games and everybody being able to, and the apps and the casino. I mean, it's gonna be awesome. It's gonna be so awesome. I'm ready to preview week one. I'm ready to do a week one show. Right. That's the next Take in the Over coming out.
Right. I'm also ready for this football season. I think that in the next 3 weeks, the Saints sign two defensive players that we've heard of at some point, like at least the names that we recognize. Not sure if that's going to be linebacker, defensive line, or cornerback, but I think we sign at least two. And I also will take this chance to say that I do not think there are 8 college football teams that ever deserve to be in the playoffs in any season ever. I think that needs to stick to where there's barely even 4 most of the time, but anything more than that, there's a few teams that don't deserve it, and we're just going to get repeats of terrible games.
So 64,
well, no, sir,
question?
You were dead wrong.
No 64? You want 64
Mike,
games either?
Seriously, Mike.
Six more games?
That's insane to think that, but The
64 is the only way he can, is the only way one of his teams can maybe make
it. Not a supporter of 12 teams making the college football playoffs. Like, in theory, I like it, but there has never been 12 teams that deserve to even be in the conversation.
I think eight's about right. I think it allows, and look, for the most part, like Alabama and Clemson, they're going to win.
Yep.
But on the off chance you get one of these teams that can upset them, I'm tired of seeing Alabama and Clemson every year. I'm tired.
I think we end up getting tons of rematches of the second tier SEC and ACC teams playing the top tier SEC and ACC teams for the second and third time of the year. There's going to be SEC games where they play, then they play in the SEC championship, and then one of them's number 12, one of them's number, and they play for the third time.
But maybe they figure out a way to mix, you know, because a lot of this is, it's going to be about TV. If they do a third matchup, the ratings just aren't going to be there. They want to provide
ratings. I mean, so Georgia's 9-2.
Right. But they can manipulate the rankings. I mean, there's a freaking council of elders. They can manipulate the matchups. The one thing that I'm looking forward to is the possibility of having round one games on campuses. To me, that would be like to have a playoff game on the campus. That's fucking exciting to me.
You'd go to a Tulane game then?
In like 20 years when they actually do go undefeated again? Sure. They could squeeze, I'll just sit outside because they're not going to squeeze us into that 30,000 seat stadium. But with that,
City Park.
Yeah, right. That's all the show we have for you right now. We are going to, starting next week with training camp, we're going to be back to a weekly publishing schedule, at least some shows.
BS and Beer will be back week two.
Right. There you go. Right. Y'all will come back to talk about week one and the preview week two. Some shows will be back. So I am looking forward to getting back on a regular schedule. It's been a nice off season, but it is fun to have football back finally, because nobody wants to watch August baseball. So especially when your teams are out of it. Right. So that's all we have for you right now. We want to thank all your loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling your friends about the Dome Patrol United Network, where it's just one feed. That's it. And you can receive all bunch of podcasts. You get the 2-point conversion instant reaction show once the games start happening. I don't know if we're going to do that for preseason yet. Usually don't watch the back end of the preseason games.
I'm going to watch the preseason game. I'm rooting for an after show.
Especially like I can't expect Ben or James to stay up to watch a damn preseason games, especially since they're always at night. It's not like it's a noon game. So that's probably off. We may do a dry run there. Who knows? But then we have our main show, the Dome Patrol podcast, the aforementioned BS and Beer podcast, who may start publishing in September at some point, maybe. The Pelican Plunge, which will probably have a show soon because the Pelicans are about to announce their new coach, Big Willie Green, Big Willie style. So we'll talk about that. The Premier League podcast, that may be a while. They did have a nice run with the Euro Cup, so maybe a while for one of those. We got Taking the Over with Billy Gunn. He's already talked about wanting to do his week one preview, so that's a good idea as any to get people really, really ramped up for football. Give them a lot of time to get their bets in for week one, especially while the lines are what they are now. You might be able to take advantage. You know,
you got legit lines.
Especially before Aaron Rodgers is officially not playing this year. Before
one game was taken off the market. That game is taken off the market, by the way. Vegas has taken that game off the market.
Wow.
So that tells you something. Yeah, that's exciting.
But it's interesting because, look, you already saw Cam Akers running back for the Rams towards Achilles. He's done. So a lot of people were high on the Rams this year. So now...
Still am.
You know? And finally, the Tiger's Den, our LSU podcast, which now that the football season is coming up, I know it's SEC Media Days this week. So I would assume Scott's going to be talking about some things next week. But yeah.
Has Scott covered Joe Burrow taking an LSU gymnast to the Caribbean last week? Did I get covered?
Oh, that was real?
I don't know.
So those are all our shows, and you can follow us on Twitter at Don't Patrol PCast, at Don't Patrol UK, at BS and Beer Media, at Taking the Over, and at Tiger_Podcast. You can follow us on Facebook for live streams. I don't know how often those will be. Maybe we'll live stream week one. Who knows? Except I won't be there. I'll be at the game. But you can search for Dome Patrol Podcast, or you can listen to us the old-fashioned way. You can go to DomePatrolPodcast.com. Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, Mandalorian donkeys.
Bye-bye. Hoot up.